Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my
home. We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, Mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle. I'm going to play football.
He's coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
Woo!
Ladies and gentlemen of Steeler Nation, welcome back to another episode of the Behind the Steel Curtain podcast, the Steelers Hangover. It is the day after call-in show, and folks, it's hard to believe, but for the last 9 weeks, the Pittsburgh Steelers have won their game on Sunday, Thursday, Saturday, and we've had nothing but really good things to talk about afterwards. And I can't go any further without introducing my co-host, Brian Anthony Davis. Brian, how's it going this Monday night?
Oh, Mama, the Steelers are going to the AFC Championship game. I am feeling amazing, Jefferson.
Yeah, it's a great time to be a Steelers fan. They won 9 in a row, and even though everyone's only talking about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers streak, the Steelers are doing the job. They're getting it done in weird, wacky ways. With Chris Boswell with 6 field goals. Those are only points needed. We're going to talk about that a lot. I before we go any further and get our knee-jerk reactions in the game, I'd like to say that we, the show, and all of our Behind the Steel Curtain podcasts are sponsored by Frank Walker Law. Frank Walker, one of the best, if not the best, top criminal defense firm to call in Western Pennsylvania and West Virginia, owned one of the nation's top 100 ranked trial attorneys in Frank Walker. For more information, check out his website, frankwalkerlaw.com. So let's talk about that knee-jerk reaction before we get to the phone calls. What was the game ends, 18-16, final score, a little bit of controversy at the end of the game, Brian. Quick and short, what was your reaction real quick after the game? Like, there's the zeros, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know what I'm thinking? Any way that you could win a game, you win a game. Debo was being mugged all night long, and they finally called it right at the right time. You know, they're, once again, bend but do not break. If Fisher does not pull that penalty and hold Debo, she's going to murder Alex Smith on that play, and it's going to be more glorious, and that would have been better. But, hey, I'll take it. Only 5 teams in history have not scored a TD and won a playoff game, and the Steelers are number 6. And an interesting fact, all 5 of those teams beforehand went on to play for the championship after scoring scoring no touchdowns in the playoffs whatsoever.
You know, it was a really unique game. There's no other way to really put it, in my opinion. I thought it was one of the more dominating performances you've seen from the Steelers, offensively and defensively, except the score didn't indicate that. I think that you could possibly say and make the point that it was the most dominating performance since the last time they played the Chiefs in Week 4 when they beat them 43-14. But I think if you ask me, this game felt more like the Buffalo game than I think it was Week 14, where it was just unbelievable how the offense moved the football and just had nothing to show for it. That was the game Roethlisberger had those bad picks. And you know what? The Steelers won this game, and it's been their kind of MO the entire season. They find a different way to win almost every single week, whether it is coming from behind the past few weeks, the last-second drive against the Ravens, the get-out-into-the-lead last week in the wild-card round and hold the lead, or whether it was this week where it was back and forth, tucking, you know, nip and tuck, so to speak, at the beginning of the game. and then you rely on six field goals to get the job done. The defense stands tall when it matters most. It was a good win. It really was. And we want to hear what you all, the listeners, think of the victory. That's the whole purpose of this show. We want you to call in. You can do so. The phone number is 347-850-8581. Again, that is 347-850-8581. Phone lines are open. You can go ahead and call in. But we're going to go ahead as we wait for some people to maybe contribute and call in and go and talk a little bit about game balls. Who you give a game ball to? Let's just kind of think of one, Brian. Let's just think of one, offense or defense. Who are you giving the game ball to if you had to?
You know what? I have to go with James Harrison for his contributions on defense, for becoming the Steelers' all-time sack leader in the postseason, breaking Lamar Woodley's record, and just for the fact that he created that penalty at the end of the game. He was his dominating self once again, and it's just amazing to watch. So, yeah. James Harrison is getting my game ball for the most important player on that field on the defensive end of the ball yesterday.
Yeah, it's tough to disagree with that. Debo is amazing in his own way, but I think that for me, I was asked this question by my co-host Lance Williams on our Wednesday show last week, and he was talking about how I said it was the offensive line. He said that's a cop out. You can't say an entire unit. You have to pick one. I'm going to go with Le'Veon Bell. I think that Le'Veon Bell is the guy. I mean, he had 170 yards rushing. He had 100 in just the first half. Just a really dominating performance from him. And you can't say that he would be the game ball recipient without saying the offensive line gets one. But it's one of those things where the Steelers, fortunately, had a couple players that could have been given the nod, whether it was I thought that, this is rare, but if you're gonna give game balls to people like Todd Haley and Keith Butler, then this is the first time this year that I might give one to Danny Smith. The Chiefs special teams, everyone was scared of that with Tyreek Hill and their big playability. And you know what? He put together a plan, and I know the first kickoff was not executed that great. They limited, and it's the kickoff coverage. I mean, Vince Williams came down like a demon and making plays. Ultimately, I look at that and say, you know what? You love to rip on the guy when they play poorly, and I'm of the life where I say, well, if they're doing their job, you got to give them some praise, too. So don't know if you agree or disagree, but, you know, Danny Smith would be someone that should get a little bit of credit. That's a tough task to try to stop Tyreek Hill, and that's exactly what they've done, or they did.
But, I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
I agree wholeheartedly with you on that, Jeff. Danny Smith, I've been critical of him all year. He put together a good game plan. I really had no problem with the squib kick to start the game with him, just to send a message that we know you're out there and we're looking for you. But that whole special teams had a plan to stop him. They were told they couldn't stop him, and they went out and did it. But as far as your Le'Veon Bell pick, you know, you can't sleep on that one either. I mean, breaking his own team playoff record, again, is just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. There's no way, no doubt about that. But I want to get your take on something before we get to callers. I'm sure callers are going to want to talk about this, and we're going to keep it short because I know that, you know, we want to give them their voice and their platform, so to speak. And that is what everyone's talking about today on Monday. And I wrote an article for the website about this topic. And I can only imagine these fans on the East Coast, you stay up late, you watch the Steelers win, you're all amped up. And, you wake up on Monday morning thinking that you're just going to get to peruse the normal websites like Behind the Steel Curtain and all those other sites that most everyone checks. And you think you're just going to get to see nothing but great Steelers talk and all talking about the defense and how well they played. And you wake up to find everyone's talking about the Antonio Brown Facebook Live video. Now, this is not the first time he's done a Facebook Live video. We've talked about it on this show before. It was the episode where he was on the plane after the Bengals win, I believe. But we've talked about him. He does a Facebook Live video almost every single game. He's typically in the locker room. This is the first time, though, that he was filming Mike Tomlin, or he wasn't filming him, but you could hear Mike Tomlin in the background. You heard Ben Roethlisberger, and you heard Ramon Foster both chiming in as well with their talking to the team after the win. And a lot of people, they took this really, really bad. And they really spouted off about this. Local Pittsburgh media, national media, everyone was picking on this and just chiming in. Now, my article, I basically stated that I thought that the video was ill-timed, meaning he shouldn't have filmed what he did. But I also think that this was blown way out of proportion. People that think that this is going to be a distraction to the team, I don't think so. The last week, Joey Porter's arrest was not a distraction. That's a coach leaving the team. Antonio Brown might get a fine, reportedly, from Adam Schefter for this, but that's it. He's not going to be suspended for this or anything like that. He probably already talked to Coach Tomlin based on the fact that the video has been deleted. But the people that want to say, oh, you're giving because Mike Tomlin called the Patriots a-holes, you're giving the Patriots bulletin board material. My thing with that is, if you need extra motivation for an AFC championship game, you're probably in the wrong occupation. That's just me. That's just me personally. But, I mean, you shouldn't need any extra motivation for this game. This is the biggest game of the year. You're one step away from Super Bowl 51. If you need something like a coach calling the other team a bunch of a-holes because they have an extra day and a half to prepare, then that says enough about your team. But that's just my take. Brian, what were your thoughts on this whole situation? And what's your gut feeling about this? Is this going to linger, or is it going to be, you know, it's going to be over with starting on Wednesday?
You know what? If this is a distraction, it's going to last until tomorrow, and it's completely over. Here's the deal with it. As far as Tomlin's comments first, you know what? Coach is trying to fire up his team. First of all, Bill Belichick, I think he'd love to be called an a-hole because I'm sure he's been called so much worse. Tom Brady, too. They don't care. That's just coach talk. It wasn't supposed to go outside, and it did. That leads me to Ben Roethlisberger's comments, and he was the one saying, no social media, don't give him any bulletin board material. And right at that time, I was watching it, and right at that time, Antonio Brown got the big eyes, like, whoops. You know, but he still didn't care, which just bothered me just for the fact that he should have been there with the team, not with 45,000 fans and followers on social media. He should have been a part of the team, and it was a selfish move because Antonio worries about his brand a little too much, and moves like this are going to hurt your brand. Just go out and play, and your brand is fine, Antonio. That's what I'm going to say. Be a part of the team first. We don't need to see that stuff. We need you to prepare for the Patriots and have no distractions, and this is just something that you can't have. I want to know that this team is 100% in, and when a player is doing that and worrying about himself more than the team, that gives me a little bit of concern, but one thing, when he gets on the field, he plays ball. So, you know, this might last a day. Not too concerned about it, but just stop it, Antonio. Just stop. You know, you get through this game, you're going to have media spotlight, you're going to have media day, you're going to have all kinds of attention. Get your attention then. You don't need it now.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It didn't sit well with me. I didn't agree with the video, but I just think that a lot of people are making too big of a deal of it. Ultimately, like you said, I really can't fault these guys for wanting to promote themselves. And people say it's selfish, but, you know, Chuck Knoll used to tell all his players back when he was, and he seems to be the gold standard in Pittsburgh for coaching, and for obvious reasons, he would tell them never turn down an endorsement possibility because your career is very short and, you know, your life's work afterwards might not be enough to actually pay the bills. So make sure you take advantage of what's been given to you in terms of your celebrity and use it to your advantage. And I think that I look at that and say, I don't blame guys like Antonio Brown or even Le'Veon Bell or, you know, whatever they do, like Le'Veon Bell starting a clothing line. Go for it. If it's going to bring you extra money and you can sell some stuff, and that's fine. Like, to me, that's I have no problem with that, but there's a time and a place, and that's not it. And so I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people wanting to talk about that. We have some people on the line that are waiting. Let's get some callers in. The lines are still open, 347-850-8581. Again, 347-850-8581. We're going to go in order as they call. Let's get our first caller, Vito Mankin from New Jersey. What's up, Vito?
Gentlemen, good evening. I'm sure you guys are very excited about the win yesterday. I know I was pacing
Absolutely.
A lot. I was pacing a lot when we were settling for field goals, and it kind of bothered me. I sent a text out to a big Steeler fan who we constantly talk all the time, and he's big in, you know, pumping me up and how, you know, Ben is a Hall of Famer. We know that, and Brady can't do what Ben could do. Well, you know what, guys? I mean, and you guys know this. We've been talking week after week. We do a great job of getting into the red zone, and we've been consistently putting points on the board, you know, other than three. But for some reason last night, the way Bell was running inside the five-yard line, why take the fast pass to Antonio Brown and risk getting an interception when you know these guys are great ball hawks and not just give the ball to Bell again and see if he could get in the end zone? We probably have a better shot at doing that than taking that fast throw and then it getting deflected and getting intercepted. Another thing, I guess, we got to give a lot of credit to that defense because they are very good at tightening up when we get into the red zone and really keeping teams from scoring touchdowns. But that's really one of my big concerns. I mean, team effort was tremendous. Defense was tremendous. There were some plays, though, if you guys remember in that game, where there were guys that were open on the Kansas City side, and Alex Smith just missed them. If he doesn't miss them, they got some huge plays where they would have been in the red zone as well. So I guess the most concerning thing for me was not getting any TDs on seven red zone trips. That's definitely something that we should be concerned about as fans. It's a great win. We're heading into New England where, you know, this guy's not going to settle for field goals. He's going to get the TDs. What are your thoughts?
Vito, I'm glad you said your second part, which was you giving credit to the Kansas City defense, because that's a good defense. And I know that they struggle and run and stopping the run, and that was evident a lot. And, yes, I agree with you where I was kind of confused when they got down the red zone, especially in the first half. They got very pass-happy. On the second half, they tried to flip the script. Well, Kansas City was just waiting for that, and it turned out they weren't able to run the football in the red zone very, very well or with any type of authority in the second half. But when you look ahead, because it is what it is, it's not going to change. They settled for six field goals and whatever, what have you. That's not going to change. But next week, I don't know if fans realize the New England Patriots defense, although they're good, they're not as good as the Chiefs. I would even go to say they're probably more similar to the Dolphins than they are the Chiefs. If you watched the game on Saturday, and I know that might have been an aberration, so to speak, with what they're typically doing or things of that nature, but they're not a unstoppable force. So the Steelers should have an advantage there. I think it's safe to say that they're going to spend a lot of time on the red zone and being – there's a fine line between creative and cute, in my opinion, when it comes to down in the red zone when the field shortens. And I think the Steelers got a little cute at times. There's nothing wrong with keeping Roosevelt, Knicks, and Chris Hubbard in the game and just running it right down a team's throat. They did it to the tune of 170 yards yesterday in the Sunday night game. So, Brian, what are your thoughts? What do you think is the magic elixir for the red zone woes the Steelers saw against Kansas City?
Well, you know, that when Ben threw the interception to Barry, and it was tipped, and that was a play that he changed. And I would have liked to have seen him stay with it, because that's a completely different ball game if you're giving it to Le'Veon Bell there. You know, I think Le'Veon Bell is going to be scoring on that play or maybe the next one. And then, you know, you're completely changing the script of the game at that point, and you're getting in the end zone. But look, if six field goals are enough to get it done against Kansas City, then that's fine. I think that they saw how the defense was playing, and that's they knew that they were going to take the safe points and kept on doing it, and they hung in there. They did enough to win. They beat an all-time coach. They were up against a raucous crowd. The most explosive kick returner, an all-pro tight end, an all-pro safety, and they just found ways to get it done. So, you know, adjust the script a little bit. I know that's not going to work against New England, and I'm sure it's not, but you know what? We haven't seen this. We haven't seen them have to settle for six field goals, and that's it. We came close to it against Cincinnati, but then they started scoring at that point. But here's the deal. They know what it takes to win. That's what won the game for them, and they kept going with it, and they ended up being successful. So I'm happy about that. And there's going to be adjustments this week. The biggest thing, the biggest concern were tip passes on Ben's end, with it being 3 or 4 tip passes. And we just have to wonder whether it was just the Kansas City defense, who I thought played out of their head also, or is it just the fact that Ben was road Ben. Who knows? But I know they're going to be ready for this game, and I'm completely confident that they're not just a field goal team anymore. So this just does – we're thinking that, okay, this isn't enough. Look, just because it happened against Kansas City and you didn't get in doesn't mean that you're just going to be a field goal team from now on. That's not going to happen. This is the same team that had 6 field goals against Cincinnati and then a touchdown, and then turned around and put up a lot of points the next week when it counted against Baltimore. So, I mean, the concerns there, of course, we need to be concerned about stuff. We're Steeler fans. We're pessimistic a lot. But you know what? I wouldn't worry about it, fellas.
Yeah, I agree. What do you think about that, Vito?
Well, he has great thoughts. You know, I've been a fan a long time, and you guys know this being fans. How many times have we seen the Steelers in the 90s going to the championship game, and who was the team we were playing that we always lost to? The team we're going to face next week. So that would probably be a message if I was Tomlin, that I'd be showing them over and over, guys, we've been going at this team forever, and we've never had success against them. How do we finally find a way to win? I mean, the key is to find a way to win. They've always beat us when we got into the championship game. I remember for years watching it on Sunday, and it was always us against them. And we were so close so many times, and then it always seemed like in the last few minutes they made a big play or we made a big mistake, and that was the end of that. And so many times, over and over and over. I think the last time Ben faced Brady was in 2004 in his rookie year, they said. And, you know, we know what happened there. I think he threw a key interception near the end that lost us the game. And it's amazing that every time we've gone to the Super Bowl since Ben's been on the Steelers, we've never crossed paths with them in the end, which is amazing to me, right? Somehow it just seemed to work to our advantage that we didn't have to. And now this time around, you have to. So the question is, are we as good as they are? Are they better than us? Who's going to be the better quarterback that day? Who's going to get it done? Because, you know, another thing that a lot of the commentators have been talking about is Ben's inconsistency. He can look great some games and then not look so good other games, but you guys have said it. You've pointed out over and over again, because we're a more balanced team and a more run-heavy team, he doesn't have to do as much as he once did. So it's going to be interesting to see what game plan they have for us and what we do.
Absolutely, Vito. As always, thanks for the phone call, man. And enjoy the week, and then for we talking. You too. So, you know, the thing is, and Vito is right, the last time the Steelers played the Patriots in the playoffs was in 2004. Ben Roethlisberger's rookie year, if you recall, that was the game where Roethlisberger, you know, the first half, the Patriots came out, and they were kind of flying around and got a lead, and the Steelers came back, and deep in the red zone, I'll never forget it, Jeremy Tooman goes down a little flat, was open. He had gotten behind Rodney Harrison, and Roethlisberger underthrows the pass, picked off by Rodney Harrison, taken back probably about 95 yards for a touchdown, and that put the game on ice. He's right. When you go back to the early 2000s, even the Cordell Stewart era, 2001, and you go to other games where they always just had that one big play. I think it was Troy Brown who had the punt return touchdown. Special teams, it could be on defense. They always have that one big play. And it's going to be a tough test, and we're going to have all week to talk about that, but let's get to our next phone call. People that want to talk about this game, let's see who we have here. 412-720-7431. You're on with Jeff and Brian. Go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, hello? Go ahead.
Hello?
Hello, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
All right, great. It's my first time calling in. I just wanted to say, hey, I've listened to you guys all season and loved your podcast. My dad and brother and I were actually at the game last night. I live in St. Louis. So they came down. We drove over to Kansas City. And it was a lot of fun. Would have been more fun to
see.
Well,
let me ask you. Yeah. Let me ask you this, though. If people talk about Arrowhead Stadium, it's obviously been labeled the loudest stadium in the National Football League. What was the atmosphere like? Was it really loud? Were there some Steelers fans there? Were a lot of Steelers fans? Like, tell me, in being there, I think that's really cool. What was it like?
It was really loud. I fully believe their claim of being the loudest stadium. And those fans don't sit down. I mean, they were on their feet for the entire first drive, shouting at Ben when he was on offense. And then their defense or their offense came on. We thought, okay, maybe now they sit down. No, they just don't sit down all game. They were up. And but the fans were really, really nice. Really nice. Like, everyone there said, we're rooting for you guys over the Patriots. So it was a really nice atmosphere. And the stadium's beautiful. I would say there were between 5 and 10% Steelers fans there. It was pretty low, not very many at all, but you could see a couple towels around.
Well, that's awesome. It's good to hear about people that actually get to these games. It's been a while since I've never been to a playoff game, let alone one on the road. So, Brian, do you have any questions for her about the atmosphere there last night?
Actually, I do. First of all, what is your first name?
Oh, first name's Libby.
Libby. Well, Libby, have you ever been to Heinz Field? Have you ever been to a game there?
Only once. It was, 5 years ago now. Is that season we didn't make the playoffs, and our last game was against Cleveland, and it didn't matter. I went to that one. Yeah.
So I guess you really can't compare the crowds at that point.
Not at all.
And that being a meaningless game. I'm glad.
My brother and dad have been to multiple Heinz Field games, though, versus the Ravens, so you'd hope the crowd is pretty hyped then. And even they said Arrowhead seemed louder.
Wow. I have been to, we were just talking about the New England playoff games and both losses, and I was in the end zone for both of those games at Heinz Field, and they were completely raucous crowds, and Heinz Field gets really crazy, but I'm glad you were able to share that with us. What a fantastic game to go to, so I keep calling in.
All right. Well, thanks. Nice talking to you guys. Oh, and
thanks.
The other thing
I meant to say. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. If I can add one more. We were listening to the Kansas City sports radio on our way out, and they are all under the impression that the NFL, or a lot of the fans are under the impression the NFL wanted the Steelers and that they were unfair to the Chiefs in the calling. And I got a kick out of finding out that another team also thinks that the NFL hates them and has it out for them, because I think Steelers fans have that impression a lot.
Yeah, I've actually heard that on multiple venues on Twitter. Our Twitter handle for the Behind the Steel Curtain website and on other platforms where people are saying that the NFL wanted Brady versus Ben, and same on the NFC side, that they wanted Aaron Rodgers to be there. And I personally don't buy into the conspiracy theorists, but there's a lot of people that do. But you know what?
Yeah, I don't
I'll
buy them at all. Thanks. Bye, guys.
That's cool. I didn't expect to talk to a Steelers fan that was actually at the game last night. It did seem really loud. And, you know, the funny thing is I was really anxious to see what the crowd was like. Because you hear about, you know, being a Steelers fan. Brian, you were at M&T Bank Stadium last year for the famed Ryan Mallett game, and you talked about how miserable that was at times. I've often said I will never step foot in M&T Bank Stadium ever, unless it's for like a tour where there's no one else around. But still, I saw a video, and this was when the Raiders went to Kansas City, and I swear it was scary to watch. It was upper deck stuff, and that's where the stuff always happens, you know, where the drunks go up there. And these people, this was a whole section fighting at Arrowhead Stadium, and it was insane. And I'm watching this on Facebook thinking, holy cow, like this is – people getting thrown down rows of you know, bleachers and stuff. It was insane, Brian. I mean, it was cool to hear that the Chiefs fans were cool. That's what I like. I mean, a sporting event, you should never have to go into a sporting event concerned for your safety. But would you say M&T Bank was the worst you've experienced in your time going and watching the Steelers in other venues?
Yeah, I would, because the other games I went to on the road were in San Diego and Jacksonville. to name a few, and they were just friendly environments at the time, and actually a lot of Steeler fans. When you bring up the YouTube video in Kansas City, it's the Raiders bringing that mentality probably. It changes everything. I have my cousin, and this was 20 years ago, but my cousin was married to a fella that he was a Raiders fan, and he showed me his face, and he has a scar that he said, okay, this is Denver in 87, and this other scar here is Seattle in 88. And he has scars from just being in the game in Oakland, and that's a place that I would never go to. Now, it looks like with them leaving, I'll never have a chance to go to, but if I did, I would probably not wear Steeler gear whatsoever. So I would say M&T Bank Stadium was the worst just for the fact that it's a rivalry, and you're looking at Chiefs and Raiders, you had that being a major rivalry. So I guess that's the reason for all the fracases there. But everything I've heard about Kansas City has been pretty positive. You know, when you have good barbecue, Jeff, you know, you're going to be happy.
Yes, I guess. I love a good barbecue. But they literally say that you have to – there's parking for that stadium in a field. I mean, they say it's like in the middle of nowhere that you – some people have to park in a field and walk to the stadium. It just seems really old school, and I think that's a pretty old venue, actually. I'm wondering when they'll be getting a new stadium, but cool to hear from fans. Olivia, thanks for calling in. Let's get to our next caller. Let's see here. 347-605-7473. You're on with Jeff and Brian. Go ahead.
What's up, guys? This is Ken from New Jersey. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, Ken?
Hey, nothing. Doing well. Doing thrilled for the win yesterday. A little bit of was nervous, but it was good to kind of watch it and see throughout the whole game. You just kind of knew after maybe the first two series, after the Steelers opening drive, the Chiefs opening drive, then the Steelers second drive. From that point on, you just can tell who the better team was, and I took solace in that. Like, wow, this team is really better than the Chiefs. And they're just going down, doing what they want to do. And, you know, I listen to a lot of people talk about what the play calling should have been, and, you know, Ben checking out of plays down there at the in the goal line. I mean, sorry, in the red zone. So I looked at it because I remember watching, and I was like, you know, they're not really getting that close. So the first drive, they got down to the 5. They kicked the field goal from the 5. But the next 5 field goals came from the 21-yard line, the 19-yard line, the 26-yard line, the 28-yard line, and the 26-yard line again. So they really weren't getting down close to where you can just run Bell 3 times and just get him in the end zone. And I think a lot of people are missing a boat on that. You know, they may have had a penalty here or there. I don't remember, but that's where the field goals were kicked from. So, you know, knowing that, could they have called, you know, a couple of different plays? Yes, they probably could have. But, you know, hindsight is always 20/20. So that's one fact. The second fact is, again, the Steelers were definitely the better team. And I've been saying from the beginning of the season, each week, the way the Steelers are playing is preparing them for a championship. They're finding different ways. Every game is a little bit different. They're finding different ways to pull out victories. And these young guys are just learning to win. And they're getting the physical evidence of the week of preparation, everything that the coaches are telling us, the positions they're putting us in. Wow, we're coming out with the wins. And I think they are fully 100% behind Tomlin and the coaching staff. And, these are how championships are built, especially with such a young team.
You know, Ken, I'm glad you brought up that first point. You kind of reiterated there at the end of what you said. I think people sometimes, and you can't blame fans. I fall into this trap as well, of kind of thinking to yourself, geez, you don't know what you're going to get with the Steelers. And this team's won 9 games in a row. And I tell you what, they're a good football team. Like, it's time that everyone just knows it and says it and be been proud of it, that there is a really good football team. I mean, look at the offensive line. Was Justin Houston even on the field? Tom Ali? You didn't hear anything from those guys. and they have other players that can get after the quarterback. And you talk about 170 yards rushing in a game with 100 of those coming in the first half alone. Roethlisberger gets sacked once, and that was kind of a coverage sack, not really on the offensive line. He only gets hit, I want to say, once or twice. Just ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous statistics, and the eye test doesn't lie in that fact, but also the defense. They're stopping the run. They're playing tough on the outside. They're going to give up some yardage, but they're playing tough when it matters the most. I think it's about time that Steelers fans kind of look at this team and say, you know what? They're a good football team. And they're a good football team missing some really big pieces of the puzzle. You talk about Cameron Hayward. You talk about Ladarius Green. You want to go as far as saying Martavis Bryant, who, if he were on the team right now, my goodness, this offense would be out of its mind ridiculous. But still, they are a good football team. Brian, do you think it's due time that Steelers fans kind of say, you know what, they're in the AFC Championship game for a reason. Let's not doubt them anymore. Let's go in with a little bit of confidence.
Yeah, I absolutely think it's time. They earned their ticket here. Look, they were 4-5 at one team at one point in the season, and we were talking doom and gloom. We were actually talking, looks like they're going to build towards a draft pick, possibly. And we were talking the end of the season. But we also were saying at that time, they need to win out, and you know they're not going to win out. Guess what? Not only have they won out, they've added two more in the postseason. They're doing it the hard way, and now they're getting to the point where they're going to be playing the team that is the team to beat. It's not the team that they beat in 2005 because they were able to circumvent them at the time, and 2008, they circumvented them then. Now they get to play the best and prove against the best, and you're going to see that this team does what it takes to win, that they're growing these young guys. Look at the stat they showed on the screen yesterday. One of the youngest defenses in the history of this team at age 26, and they're bawling out of their heads right now. And you have Shazier right now looks like the AFC Defensive Player of the Year. You know he's not going to win it, but the way he's been playing lately, yes. Bud Dupree, too. Since Bud Dupree has stepped back on the field, they have not lost a single football game. That is such a great stat right there. They are playing as a cohesive unit on defense, and they're still learning. But when they go up against New England, they have to keep on playing their game. I'm proud of this team. And you talked about the defense, not seeing Holly. I didn't see him at all yesterday. I saw a little bit of Justin Houston. I saw Justin Houston yelling at Travis Kelce, and that's a guy I want to bring up. You know, the stats that Kelce had were mostly at the end of that ball game. They pretty much shut him out through three quarters of that game. And that is one of the very best tight ends in the game. I found out that he's one of the biggest jerks in the game now, and I was shocked about that because I was surprised, had no clue. But they shut that guy down, too, and they shut down Tyreek Hill. So this is a team that each and every week they are not playing down, they're not playing up, they're playing the way they're supposed to be to the competition, and it's playing to win no matter who the competition is now, guys.
Absolutely.
Ken, what do you think about this team going up against New England? Do you think this is a game that, I mean, right now the Steelers are 6-point underdogs. I think that's kind of steep in my opinion. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you know, as far as that line, it's either going to be that extreme or the Steelers are going to win. If the Steelers lose, they're going to lose by over a touchdown. And I think that's kind of – if you think the Patriots are going to win, that's what you're betting. Because I believe that I don't think the Steelers will lose by 1 point. They'll lose by over a touchdown or about a touchdown, or they'll win the game. So I'm not really concerned with that. You know, we were throwing a curveball. I was, just like everyone else, I was surprised to kind of wake up, and I'm thinking, all right, what are they going to say now? Finally, the Cowboys are out. They're not going to dominate the presses and, the, you know, all the sports shows. And, you know, we get the bonehead Antonio Brown video. You know, first of all, he's a knucklehead. We all love AB, but he's a knucklehead, you know. And I'm 32. I don't know what my age give, you know, what bracket I fall. I'm not a millennial. I don't get it, man. I deleted Facebook from my phone months ago because of all the messages I was getting that I had nothing to do with. So that's just me, you know. But however, it's out now. So if the Patriots want to take this as bulletin board material and use this, and the Steelers know, oh man, it's out, the monkey's out of the bag, we need to rally around coach. If they want to play the emotional game, the physical game, oh, that falls into the Steelers' favor. The Patriots are a very on-schedule team, do things but systematically and on schedule. If they want to play, if they want to go and just bang heads and just kind of bring that, oh, you're not playing to your strength if you're the New England Patriots. So at this point, I like it. It's already out. All the chips are on the table, pushed to the middle of the table. It's do or die. It's AFC Championship football. It's going to be smash mouth. And, yes, we think you are assholes. That's what we think. You know what? So is the rest of the league. Too bad.
Yeah.
So the best, yeah. You know, the best team is going to win, and I think we're going to win. You know, that's what I really feel genuinely. I think we're going to take it to them, take it to that defensive line, and we're going to punch them in the mouth.
Well, they're going to have to on both sides of the football. You saw what can happen with Brady when you get in his face. The Houston Texans did that on Saturday night. If they had a quarterback that knew how to throw it to the right team, I think there's a chance they would have lost that football game. It'll be interesting to see how this game unfolds. You're going to have to weather the storm, just like against Kansas City. Kansas City gets the ball. They had great field position, mind you, but they move right down the field, score a touchdown. It's like Tomlin said about his defense after the game. You know, they had that no-blink mentality. We're going to stay in this thing, and we're going to actually get the job done, and they did that. But, Ken, as always, thank you for the phone call, man. Enjoy the week.
All right, you too. We'll be.
All righty. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting lead-up to this game. I'm really looking forward to it. I think that this matchup is going to be as good as advertised, and it's one of those that I personally have been waiting to see this for a long time. I know that Ben was starting last year, 2015, to start off the season when Tom Brady was going through his Deflategate stuff and was still able to play, and it was there, and it's a tough game for anyone to win. You know, when you're bringing the Super Bowl champions back to start the next season. But ultimately, I looked at it and I was like, man, this needs to be a postseason game. Big Ben, Tom Brady, all the marbles, here we go. And we got it. And it's going to be fun to watch. The lead-in is going to be crazy. I don't think Antonio Brown's video is going to linger too long. Like I said, when Tomlin will talk about it tomorrow on Tuesday at his press conference, and I think after that it'll kind of be done. I think that they'll move on, and then you start turning your attention to actual football and not someone's social media account. Let's get to our next phone caller. Here we go. 972-835-7833. You're on with Jeff and Brian. Go ahead.
Hi there. This is Steve from Dallas.
How's it going, Steve?
It's going pretty good. Hey, I've got a question for you guys. You remember the end of the game, I'm sure. The 3rd and 4 completion to Brown to kind of seal the game, right? The question is this. Do you think at that point in the game, at that place on the field, that was 4-down territory for the Steelers? Here's my logic. You punt from your end zone. Yeah, you punt from your end zone. You got Tyreek Hill fielding that punt with lots of time left. You're basically hosed if you do that. Are your odds better to just go for it and try to win the game on 4th down?
I see your point. I really do. For me, though, they were backed up. They weren't at the point where Jordan Berry would have been, you know, having his heels on the back of the end zone. I think they would have had the chance to really get a good punt away. I don't know. You could see that the Steelers were aggressive in that drive. They ran the ball on 1st down. The 2nd down play was that short pass to Eli Rogers, which, you know, if it falls incomplete, that changes the entire spectrum of what the Steelers are facing in terms of a down and distance and time remaining. I see your point. I would have punted the football, I guess, is a quick answer for you. I wouldn't have risked a 4th down play. I definitely would have kicked the ball away, trusted your defense can make a stop or force a long field goal. I know what you mean with Tyreek Hill, but if we go for it on 4th down and you don't get it, you're giving them the ball game, essentially, because you're only up by 2 points. Brian, what would you do in that situation?
The only time you go for it on fourth down in that situation is when you're playing Madden 17, and that's it. I mean, you cannot, you can't, because really, if you don't make it, you are giving them the game, because they don't defend against field goals. That's an instant field goal. I mean, where they were on the field, you know, that's a 37-yard field goal right there, and the game is if they don't get a touchdown, and then you're not going to see the ball back. So, I don't think I think they did exactly what they needed to do. Ben made a comment about somebody asked him if he was going to pull down and run on that, and he said no because he saw – I mean, he was looking right at Justin Houston coming at him. And he said there's no way he would have made it. But he said when you have the best playmaker in the game going across the field right at you, you know, I mean, it felt like the perfect pass for him, and they executed and they got it done. And that's the thing about this team. When they need to get it done, when they need to buckle down, they buckle down, and that's what champions do. That's what you see the Patriots do a lot. So I was pretty proud of them icing the game at that point. I'm glad they didn't have to worry about it. But, you know, ifs and buts, candy and nuts, but, you know, they don't have to worry about it, but there's no way they would have went ahead and kicked it and tried to boot it as far as they could and do a few Hail Marys, Glory Bees, and Our Fathers on the way down.
Yeah, I think you guys are right. No coach in the league would have tried it. I'm not sure what the right answer is, but nobody would have the guts to do that, not even Tomlin. But, yeah, thank goodness, you know, Ben and A.B. Were so clutch in the moment, because that's exactly what we had to have. Because either way, I think we were about to lose that game without that first down. So, and I actually think we're going to see some magic next week in New England. I mean, my head tells me that we're underdogs. We're probably not going to win. But my gut tells me there's something really good brewing with this team. And I think this is the time they go to Foxborough and put it on the Patriots. So thanks for all you guys.
I hope
do.
You're right. I hope you're right. Hey, that's right. Go Steelers. Thanks for the phone call. You know, he said that a lot of coaches wouldn't have the guts to do that. If you remember, and I wish I knew the year, and Brian, maybe you know, this was back when Peyton Manning was with the Colts, and New England was in Indianapolis for a playoff game, and I want to say it was a 4th-and-3. They were in their own zone. And it was almost a similar situation, except I'm trying to think, but Belichick went for it, and they didn't get it. It was a little swing pass to Kevin Falk, and he got stopped short, and everyone was going nuts about how he went for it and didn't punt the ball away. So Belichick's pretty aggressive, but I don't think anyone in that situation would have tried to go for it. But I understand the question, and it makes sense. So we'll see how things go. Let's hope the Steelers aren't faced with that scenario again. But was there any doubt who Ben Roethlisberger was going to throw that ball to? I mean, my goodness. I could have bet my house that the ball was going to be thrown at Antonio Brown. And talk about patience. Ben is rolling right. Houston is in position to make that play and have him. Ben holds on to it, lets him clear behind, and makes a good throw, good catch. Game over. Let's get our next caller on the air here. 413-475-4410. You're on with Jeff and Brian. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. This is Caleb from Massachusetts. How you guys doing?
What's up, man? How's it going up there?
It's going great. I was watching the game with my dad last night, and it was an interesting game. But I really think our defense obviously stepped up, and they haven't played a game quite like that all year, where they've really stepped up and just they did what they needed to do, and I'm proud of them for doing that. But like I've said every time I come on, I'm from Massachusetts, and you know what that means. There's Patriots fans all around me, and oh boy, I've been waiting all year. I've been waiting for longer than just this year to get a crack at New England for all the marbles. This is my Super Bowl, because all I want to do is be able to laugh in everyone's face when this week everyone's going to be talking a bunch of crap, and then come Sunday, if we win, that's just going to be absolutely glorious. So this is the most important game of the season, at least for me, you know, because of where I live and the people around me. But we played a good game. The defense played a good game. Ben was off. He'll need to be better. But it's, you know, with Belichick, his thing is taking down your biggest weapon. So it's pick your poison. You take down Bell, Brown's going to dominate the game, and Ben's going to dominate through the air. If you take down Brown, and Bell will rack up 200 on you. That's what makes this team click.
Yeah, no, you're right. I don't know if there's a defense that's still playing football that is capable of shutting down Le'Veon Bell. I just think that's where he is right now in his career. That's where the offensive line is right now in the season. The Steelers are going to get their yards. And I think that if the New England's looking at anything, they're looking at what happened against Kansas City, and they're saying, okay, they're going to probably move the ball, but we've got to buckle down when it matters the most. We've got to buckle down when it's the red zone and try to keep them out of the end zone. So it's going to be – it could be a high-scoring affair. It could also be a tighter game, but I think both offenses are going to be able to move the ball. It's just a matter of which defense holds tight and forces the most punts. I mean, it's incredible. Jordan Berry had one punt. I mean, you think about that in an AFC divisional game, and that's incredible. That's good offense. And one thing that you see, you know, and a lot of people have said this, it wasn't just you, that Ben Roethlisberger had an off day. I honestly didn't think Ben played that bad. I mean, there were a couple throws that might have come out a little high. It was cold. You know, that's going to happen sometimes in the playoffs. But he also threw some really good passes that weren't caught. Antonio Brown had a drop. I thought he could have come down with that football in the end zone that Marcus Peters kind of barred loose. Eli Rogers in the quarter, he had that pass over the middle where I was like, man, that hits his hands. It's a tough throw. You have to throw that ball high. Yeah, there was a tip ball that was an interception, but I didn't think Roethlisberger played all that bad. I mean, people are giving him a bad grade in this game, but when you have a rusher that's running for 170, you're not going to be asked to make as many plays. Brian, what were your thoughts on Roethlisberger's play in the game yesterday?
Besides a couple of tip balls and the decision to change the play down deep when he threw that interception, I thought he had a pretty good game. And I'm perfectly comfortable with him leading the Steelers into New England this time. He wants to go ahead and win there against Tom Brady. He didn't have the chance to play the Patriots last time. And, you know, the Steelers matched up very well against the Patriots last time they played, but it was without Ben Roethlisberger. We talked then. Imagine if Ben would have played in that game. Well, now we're going to get to find out, except for the venue is different, and it's for all the marbles to go to the Super Bowl. So I'm perfectly comfortable with Ben. I think he was. I think he led that team, and I think he proved in the AB Facebook Live that he is a leader of that team. You could hear him saying, okay, gather up for coach. And you heard him talking and leading. And that's exactly what we've been hoping for from this guy. That's why he is the captain of this team. And that is, and it took him a while to earn that captain's patch. Well, they don't wear the patch, but you know what I'm saying. I'm fine with this guy, and I think he had a decent performance. I had people around me saying that he didn't. But he did in the last few weeks. I don't see it.
Yeah. Now, Caleb, for your sake, I hope the Steelers pull out a win. But for everyone's sake, I think that to exercise the demons of Tom Brady and the Patriots, to do it in the AFC Championship game would be really, really sweet. I think we can all agree on that. So enjoy the week. Hope you can put up with all the chowder heads up there. And then hopefully we'll be talking next week after the Steelers punch are taking the Super Bowl 51.
All right, I do as well. Thanks for having me as usual, guys. Have a good night.
No problem. Take it easy. All right, we have time for one more caller before we have to call it a show, so let's get this caller on the air. I've been waiting patiently. 646-355-5738. You're on with Jeff and Brian. Go ahead.
Jeff and Brian, what's up? It's Bryce calling from Brooklyn.
What's up, Bryce? How's it going?
Oh, man, going well. I mean, you know, despite the red zone problems, that's a type of gutty win that you want to see, particularly from a young coming defense. You know, Pittsburgh is playing defense at a very high level, top 10 defense right now since that Cowboys loss. It's been building. I give a lot of credit to Keith Butler. Put their young guys in. I thought yesterday he missed up more man coverage, gotten guys' faces, kept them off balance. Big ups to Bud Dupree. He's becoming a very strong rusher on that left side. We talked about this last week. I mean, if he can become an elite rusher, then all the more reason to pay Bell and Brown and then find some right guys on the right side and free, you know, in the draft. I wouldn't overpay for the list of free agents I've seen for that right side in terms of pass rush. But you know you do still need edge rushers. But overall, just a gutty win. You know, I think Tomlin needs to go tell Todd and Benz, don't get too cute in the red zone. Give it to 26. You finally got the offensive line that can run the football in the red zone and push people off the ball. They can take this running game and beat anybody. I expect them to go up to New England and beat New England because I think Pittsburgh's the tougher football team. Look, say what you want real quick about Brown's Facebook Live video. Yeah, he shouldn't have done it, but, you know, Tomlin doesn't like the Patriots. Okay, and water is wet. That doesn't mean a hill of beans. I think Tom Brady, as great as he is, you know, when he talks about what we would do and, oh, we wouldn't do that here, should shut his mouth. Because one thing we wouldn't do in Pittsburgh is tape signals and deflate footballs. So they shouldn't have anything to say. Don't come off as some model organization. You're a great organization. You win football games. Leave it at that, and let's take it to the field.
You know, you're right. I mean, the New England Patriots are no choir boys. Let's keep that in mind here. And Bill Belichick is the leader of that whole group. So for me, I want to talk about something you said right off the bat. That's Bud Dupree. I think we talked about this at length at different times this year, Bryce, and just how it was so unclear what you had with him because he came out, remember last year's rookie year, four sacks, four games, and then he is just shut out for the rest of the season. And so everyone's like, okay, so then they're really looking forward to seeing his progression, his development this year, and he comes out and he's on injured reserve. And so then all of a sudden he comes back and everyone's saying, well, you can't expect much from him because he's, as Mike Tomlin says, he's trying to climb aboard a moving train. And what he's done, in my opinion, and it is so big for this organization, is like you said, he's locked down the left side. There were times where you were wondering, holy crap, are the Steelers going to need two outside linebackers in free agency or the draft or a combination of the both? And I think now the answer is Dupree's got the left side. He is a hard worker, as you'll see. He doesn't – what he lacks in the technicality aspect of the game, he brings in hustle and just absolute – you hear people around draft time like, he's got a high motor, you know? And I've heard a lot of people say, what does that mean? Like, what is a high motor? Watch Bud Dupree play. That's a high motor. And someone else has a high motor off the top of their head is Stephon Tuitt. They don't quit on plays. They play, and they play hard every single down. And so I just want to give him his due because not only has he been playing at a ridiculous clip, he solidified at least one side of that defense, which is so important for this organization moving forward, and he couldn't be making plays at a bigger time than here in the playoffs. So I think that Dupree is going to be really key to busting up Tom Brady. You watch what the Houston Texans did. They moved their outside linebackers in Clowney and Merciless all around. They put them over the center, and it really wreaks havoc on that Patriots offensive line. If Keith Butler watches that film, and I know he will, he should be getting some ideas as to what to do with those athletic linebackers they have with Shazier, Timmons, Debo, and Dupree. But, Bryce, what do you think about that matchup going into Foxborough?
Well, I mean, look, I think first and foremost, besides the stuff we talked about, you know, you want to play smart. You know, Pittsburgh has shown that when locked in, they can cover picks. Excellent job in special teams. Just one of Danny Smith's best jobs of having that kickoff and punt team ready to cover Tyreek Hill. They're going to face a more dynamic guy. They're not going to face a better run defense than the Ravens. They ran for 6.1 yards a clip. They can run it on anyone. What Pittsburgh needs to do is be smart, don't get too cute, and make dumb decisions because we know that team is super coached. They need to be more physical. The key is this. You've got to smack this team in the mouth for 60 minutes. You've got to put pads to chests on Tom Brady and these receivers. You can't zone it up too much and let them get anywhere they want. You've got to get in Julian Edelman's face. Make him be an athlete for 60 minutes. Don't let him get free releases. Pressure and challenge these guys and run the football and see what happens, because I think off of that, you'll set a physical tone that I don't think the Patriots can match.
You know, you're right. You're right. I like that, Bryce. Well, hey, we're up against a hard spot here. So, hey, thanks for the phone call. We appreciate it. I'm sure we'll talk to you next week, man.
Great. Thanks, guys.
All right, Brian. I didn't throw it back to you there because I wanted to give you the chance to give us our final call. The bartender just screamed down the way that it's last call. Time to even up your tab or make your last order. Brian, go ahead and talk to Steeler fans that are listening now about this team that's won 9 in a row heading into the AFC Championship game.
Is this the same team that played the New England Patriots back in Pittsburgh in October? Absolutely not. Le'Veon Bell was in that game, but Le'Veon Bell could not be Le'Veon Bell in that game with Landry Jones at quarterback. And that's the bottom line. With Ben Roethlisberger in there, with Le'Veon Bell in there, with Antonio Brown having Ben Roethlisberger, it's a completely different ball game. They do not know what they are facing. And this is back to something that I was uncomfortable this weekend going up against Kansas City with the whole revenge game factor. Now you get the revenge game factor back, but you get a chance to go ahead and beat the best team in the league. However, without the guy that kills you every single time, and that's Rob Gronkowski. You take Rob Gronkowski out of that October game, I'm not sure if we don't have a different outcome. That guy dominated the second half of that game and completely killed them. So they have so many opportunities in this game. Bryce is right. You need to smack people in the mouth. You know, we've seen what happens when the New York Giants would knock Tom Brady around. You see what happens. You saw what happens when the Denver defense did it in two AFC championship games in the last 3 years against this team. There is a recipe to beat this team. This is a beatable team, and this is the right time to go ahead and beat them. So you know what? You're not a perfect Pittsburgh Steelers team. This team is never going to be a perfect team, but this is the perfect team for us right now. This is the perfect storm for them coming in, and I feel like they are going to go ahead and do it if they do what I say every week, play their game, don't let the other team dictate the pace, and they didn't let the Chiefs dictate the pace yesterday, so this is the team that can go ahead and do it. You have young guys that are no longer young guys. They are veterans of a full season, and you saw it with Sean Davis yesterday. He made a big mistake yesterday and came back and made the winning play on defense on that second two-point conversion try. So, you know, you have the team that is ready to step up. They have matured. This is a completely different maturity level on the playing field than what they had before. I'm excited for Sunday. In fact, somebody knock me in the head with a club and wake me up at 6 o'clock on Sunday so I don't have to anticipate it too much. I cannot wait for this ball game, Jeff. And it is Super Bowl time once again. I said I would never say it, but I'm ready to jump on that stairway to 7.
Well, let's not put the cart before the horse there, my friend, but I agree with you. I think this team is a great opportunity. And it's still the Patriots. It's still Tom Brady. It's still Belichick. And it's still Gillette Stadium. So it's not going to be easy. Keep that in mind, fans. But, hey, we thank you for listening to the show. Thank you, really, all the great callers we had tonight. I think it's the most calls we've had since we've been doing the show, and rightfully so after a big playoff win. If you're listening live, thanks for listening live. We always appreciate our live listeners. If you're listening in podcast form, make sure you subscribe to our channel. Go to iTunes and just search The Standard is the Standard. That's the name of our Behind the Steel Curtain podcast platform. And you'll get to hear all the great shows. Like tomorrow night, Tuesday night, you'll hear Brian and his Fact or Fiction show. And Wednesday will be myself and Lance Williams in the Standard is the Standard flagship podcast. We talk about all the news coming up with the upcoming game. And it's going to be a fun week, folks. I hope we all enjoy it. Take every ounce and enjoy every bit of it, because
as you've seen the last 6 years, you never know when you'll be back there. So, for Brian, I'm Jeff. Make sure you check out BehindTheSteelCurtain.com for all your Pittsburgh Steelers needs. We'll see you next time.